goodness. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us into the mind of God. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to open up the word to us tonight. Let us see what God is thinking so that we can apply it in our lives and please him. Thank you for Apostle Thompson. Thank you for the vision of this training center. Thank you for every student that is represented here and their families. Thank you for every student that's watching us online and their families. Father, may you begin to answer requests in their lives over and over again. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and in mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen. Of course, just if you haven't taken your exams yet, those that watch by internet, it's not going to close tonight. They're actually going to close tomorrow. The reason why I did that, I made the change because Apostle called a special session, press session last Monday, and it was the beginning of our exam week, and I wanted to make sure that you all were present for that, whether online or in person, for the prayer, that prayer meeting we had that night. And so I didn't want the exams to interfere with that. So exams will close tomorrow night at midnight. All right, if you would, we'll start off tonight in chapter 5. Tonight we're going to begin to deal with a word that you're going to hear over and over and over again in this class. And it's going to be a word that you learn to use. It's going to be a phrase that you begin to govern your life by. It's going to help you. This phrase is going to help you determine who needs to be in your life and who needs to be out of your life. All right, this group of words we're going to deal with tonight. Chapter 5 is talking about people connectivity. We're going to talk about three different powers: the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose. But before we go into that, the word that I want to explain to you tonight, and we're going to deal with it tremendously, is you'll see it right in that first paragraph. It says, though the church is positionally stationed for victory, the reality is somewhat discouraging, with the missing ingredient being the rules of engagement. Listen to that minute, the rules of engagement. In the military, that's a phrase they use, the rules of engagement. How we're going to interact. What are the boundaries of our interaction? What are the rules of engagement? I love the way the author defines it. The rules of engagement are the operational rules for the leadership, the people, and the operational system, and the primary assignments with the other goals and activities are often vague and blurred. The author begins to let us know that if we don't know how to interact with each other, then it's going to be hard for us to be in covenant. It's going to be hard for us to communicate. It's going to be hard for us to get anything accomplished. So there have to be rules of engagement. Whether you like to believe it or not, you all have been operating in rules of engagement in your various circles, in your various circles of influence. You might not have called it rules of engagement, but they have been established. There are certain rules in your house that you establish. That's nothing more than a rule of engagement. What you tell your children, if you're going to live here, you're going to have to abide by my rules. You hear what I'm saying? So it's everywhere we go, in our businesses and where we work, there are rules of engagement. And every time you will see people that do not want to abide by the rules of engagement. When you have people that don't want to abide by the rules of engagement, they're going to cause problems. Because now they want special treatment or special attention that is not afforded to them. All right. So one of the things that we're going to understand about Christ, there are rules of engagement. how we interact with each other. How do we communicate with each other? How do we handle situations? There are rules of engagement. Am I going to give any specific rules of engagement tonight? No, I'm not. Because different houses have different rules based on their assignment. The rules of engagement, listen to me very carefully. The rules of engagement is always based on the assignment of the house. Listen to me, Internet. The rules of engagement are always based on the assignment of the house. If you can agree with the assignment of the house, you will have no problems with the rules of engagement. The assignment of the house always determines the rules of engagement. Without the assignment, there cannot be any rules. I want to make sure that sinks in. Once again, here I go back to what we began to talk about when we first got to this class. We have to shift from a self-centric idea of coming to church and who God is to a God-centric idea. So now, when we begin to deal with rules of engagement, you definitely have to have a God-centric idea, a God-centric understanding. In other words, God the center. Because if you have a self-centric idea and it's all about you, then you're not going to see the assignment of or the agenda of the house. If you don't see the assignment or the agenda of the house, then you definitely will not abide by the rules of engagement. Go with me to Genesis, the 11th chapter. There are three strategic areas that God has always used throughout the Bible. Power of communication, it was communication, strategy, and the third one, watch this, and the third one is purpose. So it's communication, strategy, and purpose. Anytime you see God move in the Bible, all three of these were present. Communication, strategy, and purpose. First, we're going to deal with is the power of communication. In Genesis, the 11th chapter and the first verse. Now, watch this. And the whole earth was of what? One language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Verse 7. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, it is the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So you see here, we see where they had a group of people that come together. And they had a plan. Now, in this, we see the most important aspect that we're going to talk about tonight. There's three. Communication, strategy, and purpose. The most important of those three is purpose. If there is no purpose, there is no reason to communicate. If we can't communicate, then a strategy cannot be developed. Are you seeing this? So the first thing has to be established is purpose. Second thing, communication. Then third, strategy. Everywhere you see God move in the Bible, you see it in that distinct order. Purpose, communication, strategy. Second Chronicles 20:20, you have to turn there. Jehoshaphat. He cried out to God, five armies are coming against me, God. Five armies. So now he said, we're your people. How are you going to let this happen? So there's a purpose. They're the people of God. Five armies are coming against them. Something had to be done. Purpose. Communication. Watch this. Watch this. Communication is very important because when we talk about communication, we're talking about the ability to hear and disseminate the voice of God. Here's what I mean by communication. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Jehazel, and he began to prophesy. Tell him, you ain't gonna have to fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. Are you seeing this? Once they were able to communicate that to the people, then a strategy came. Anybody can tell me what the strategy was? We're gonna put the praises out in front. Now, wait a minute. Here's the wonderful, watch this. Here's the wild thing and the wonderful thing about God. Your strategy is not going to be his strategy. His strategy has to become your strategy. Are you seeing this? So it's not going, listen to that, internet. It's not about what strategy you can come up with or we can come up with. It's about the strategy that God, see, God is a very strategic God. If you notice, God didn't make man first. He didn't make man first. What he did first? He got chaos out of the way first. He got chaos out of the way. He fixed the Garden of Eden with everything man could need. Then he made man. God is very strategic. God always has a strategy. God had a strategy for Jesus getting here on the earth. He had a plan. When Jesus got here on earth, he still had strategy because 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, begins to tell us that if the princes of the world would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. What was Jesus' strategy? When Jesus' strategy, when he was on earth, he would do something and tell people, hey, don't tell them who I am. That is strategy. That is, and the strategy of God, we can equate the strategy of God to the wisdom of God. God is infinite in his wisdom. There is no human mind that can bind God's wisdom up. There is no group of minds that could come together that, here's an example. Go back to Genesis, the 11th chapter. If you're still there, right? God, they had a purpose. That's what got them in error, was their purpose. Their purpose wasn't to build a tower for God. Their purpose was to build a tower for themselves. Then they began to communicate, and then they developed a strategy. What did God do? He came down and confused their language. God confused them so much to where they just forgot about billing and moved on. Other words, He took away the thing that would cause them to spread their purpose that was not of him. If you notice, you see this over and over again. Anytime something in the earth realm that comes up that is going to try to stop what God is doing, confusion sets in. God always set ambushment. He caused confusion. There were one instance where Elijah and Gehazi was trapped. And Gehazi was wondering what God was going to do. And Elisha said, open up the eyes of Gehazi so he can see. When God opened up Gehazi's eyes, he saw a whole host of angels that was surrounding those armies, getting ready to protect Elisha and Gehazi. See, it's all about purpose, communication, and strategy. If you can get the purpose straight, the communication is going to be there. If the communication is there, then watch this, you can always find out the strategy. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Satan knows this. He's the author of confusion. So that's why he comes in and the first thing he does is try to confuse. Why? Because if he can get you confused, that means you can't get the wisdom on strategy. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. You don't know when to do it. So we have to understand that we have to get the purpose straight. That's why you must shift. You have to shift from a self-centric idea of church to a God-centric idea of church. If not, your purpose is going to be, God, how can I get my needs met? God, how I can get what I need? So when that happens, you're no longer concerned about the kingdom of God, so it's easy for Satan to come in and cause confusion. Are you seeing this? So here we have those people in the Tower of Babel, because their purpose was off, their communication. Now watch this. Watch how powerful communication and strategy is. I want to read it to you because God says something that was very powerful. God said in verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So let's think about it this way. What you think will happen? See, what I mean by that, Satan just took God's mode of operation and used it on the church. Here's how. All these different denominations have developed. So now with all these different denominations being developed, they all have different agendas. So with these different agendas, Satan don't have to work too hard. Because without everybody being on the same page. See, that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now watch this. And he gave some apostles, not all, some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 is important. Why did he give some? Verse 12 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, we ain't finished yet. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That don't sound like denominations to me. Watch this. Go back to verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. I'm still talking about purpose, communication, and strategy. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Coming in the unity of the faith does not mean that we're all going to be in each other's face. Listen to me, internet. Coming to the unity of faith does not mean we're going to be one we're going to be one geographically located church. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets. That means that if when we get the purpose down, then the communication can become tight. What I mean by communication, we can get the right instructions. We can get to understand what's going on. Why are we here? Why the church is established? What's the purpose? Why am I in this church? Why am I connected to this person? Why? All these whys that we have, when we understand the purpose, the whys can be answered. Are you seeing this? So all of us, it's not going to be so much about all of us just coming together in brotherly love. That ain't what the unity of the faith means. What it does mean, though, when we come into the unity of faith, is that everybody doing what God has called them to do. When everybody is doing what God has called them to do, then we'll be a body fitly joined together, every joint supplying. Are you seeing this? See, what we got right now in the body of Christ is we got too many churches and people trying to develop their own identity. So when they try to develop their own identity, that means they have to be original. So when they try to be original, now you're going back to Genesis 11th chapter. Because the only reason they were trying to build that tower is to make a name for themselves. Are you seeing this? So now their purpose is whack. Your purpose is whack. Your communication is going to be whack. Communication whack. Strategy is going to be whack. Satan don't have to do no more work. Satan don't have to do no more work. He don't have to do anything. But when there are people that come together and understand purpose, can understand communication, and can get strategy, there's nothing Satan can do. Nothing. There was nothing Satan can do in 2 Chronicles 20:20. There was nothing Satan can do with Daniel. There was nothing Satan can do with the three Hebrew boys. There was nothing Satan can do with Elijah. There was nothing Satan can do with Elisha. Nothing. There was nothing Satan could do about Noah. Nothing. There was nothing Satan could do about Abraham. Nothing. Nothing. He couldn't stop it. When you understand God's purpose, you're able to get his communication, and you're able to understand his strategy, there is nothing that Satan can do. Even better yet, we have it. Take a side journey. We have it so easy. We make it hard. How you say we have it so easy? Well, if Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, then there is nothing else that needs to be done. All right, side journey. Apostle Thompson has been redefining grace and faith for us, right? Little side journey. It's to teach you how to study. Teach you how to study. When you find a definition, we've done this already. We've done this with the word faith. One other word we can use with the word faith is assignment, right? We've done this, all right? I heard another definition of faith, which fits with assignment, and it makes even clearer sense. I heard Apostle Tom define faith as properly responding to God. All right, properly responding to God. And I also heard him say the definition of grace was God's divine influence on our hearts. All right, so now, real quick, go to Ephesians. I'm going to tell you how easy it is. Ephesians 2:8. Still talking about purpose, communication, and strategy. Watch this. Go to Ephesians 2:8. Watch this. I think it's 1 Timothy 2:15. Say, study to show thyself approved. Under God, a workman that need not be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth, right? First Timothy 2:15. All right. So now we know those two definitions. We can go to Ephesians 2:8 and watch how it reads. For by God's divine influence on your heart, ye are saved through properly responding to his voice. You want to see how that works? Go to Romans 10. Go to Romans 10, verse 8. Anybody know where we're going? Now remember, now faith is properly responding to God's voice. Grace is God's divine influence on our hearts, right? It is already finished. I'm gonna use your salvation as an example. Use how you got born again as an example of how easy it is. And this is, once again, this is why we have to shift from a self-centric view of church to a God-centric view of church. Watch this. Verse 8, but what said that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. The word of properly responding. See, that's what all church, that's what the king, that's what church is supposed to do, teach you how to properly respond to the voice of God. All right, watch this. Watch what Paul says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Anybody who's been in church a little while knows that's how you get born again. Here's the question I want to ask you. Did salvation exist before you accepted it? It did, right? How we know this? I mean, just think about how we know this. You got John 3:16, right? You got, I just quote another one that gave proof, 1 Corinthians 2, I think it's verse 6 or 7, if the prince of the world would have known they never crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So salvation existed before you accepted it. So that means, watch this, that means that you being born again was a finished issue. What was left to do? Properly accept, properly respond. Does that make sense? So now think about whatever situation you're dealing with. Think about whatever situation you're facing. Any roadblocks, any mountains you're trying to climb, any brick walls you're facing. What grace is telling you is that it's already finished, is already done. You just got to properly respond. Hebrews 11 chapter. Watch this. Hebrews 11 chapter. Starting Still talking about purpose, communication, and strategy. See, if we don't learn to shift our purpose. See, Matthew 6:33 got to become real to you. If it does not become real to you, then you're going to be trying. When it comes to the rules of engagement, you're never going to fit in. Because if you're here to get what you can get, then when it's time to make sacrifices for the agenda of the house, which God has established, you're not going to want to do it. Because it's going to cost you something that you think you ain't going to get back. Hebrews 11. Watch this. Properly responding, it's not about us making up what faith is. It's about us discovering what it is and then doing it. It's not us making it up. It's not even us. Watch this. It's not even us trying to get more of it. Because you've been given all the faith you need. Hebrews 11, watch this. All right. It says, look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by. So, question, was Noah's the saving of his house, was it already established? Yeah. How did he get there? By faith, right? Or properly responding to God's voice. How did he properly respond to God's voice? See, this is not rocket science. If it was rocket science, half of us wouldn't be in the kingdom. See, we have to change. We have to change our thought process of being spiritual and then being kingdom minded. See, some people are spiritual, but they're not kingdom minded. What I mean by spiritual, they go through the rituals of being spiritual. They pray, they read their Bible. They may prophesy sometimes. They may do all the spiritual things. But when it comes to kingdom advancement, if it's not about them and them being seen, they don't want to do it. It says, by properly responding to God's voice, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by properly responding to the voice of God. That's clear, isn't it? By properly responding to the voice of God, Abraham, when he was called out to go into verse 8, into a place where he should go after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. By properly responding to the voice of God, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through properly responding to the voice of God, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who promised. How are you going to deal with your current situation? By properly responding to God's voice. So watch this. Watch this now. Here's why you have to change from a self-centric view of church to a God-centric view, because when you start responding to God's voice, God may not talk to you directly about your situation. He may ask you to do something that has nothing to do with solving your problem. But if I have a self-centric view of the church, when God speaks to me, if it doesn't pertain to me, I'm not going to do it. So now if I don't do this, I'm not properly responding to the voice of God. So therefore, I can't access what already been paid for. Are you seeing this? So this is why government is so important. This is why the apostolic government of God is so important. It's because the apostles, some of them, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists are to help us, position us so that we can properly respond to the voice of God. Because when we properly respond to the voice of God, that means now things are unlocked in our lives that's already been waiting on us. Is this making sense? See, so when, if I don't understand the purpose of a thing, I'm not going to be able to convey the idea properly. If I can't convey the idea properly, then we're not going to find how to do it, when to do it, or what to do. Strategy. See, when you just think about it, those people had in Genesis 11 chapter had one purpose. They had one purpose. They was all saying the same thing. It was nobody there saying, well, what my idea, so I'm not going to do this. It wasn't even an idea that was going to benefit nobody directly. You about to build a tower into the sky. What in the world is going to help us do? And they were all, watch this a minute, they were all one language about building a tower into the sky. And we got stuff down here that we need to get done for the kingdom. And we down here saying, well, it ain't my idea, so I don't want to do it. So really, Satan, really, all he doing is walking around just enhancing. He ain't really done nothing. He can't do nothing. He's powerless. All he's doing is just enhancing what we've decided going to happen. Are you seeing this? You must have the power, the purpose, the agenda of a house, the agenda of an apostolic government. Once you shift your focus from God is not about me, it's about you. When that happens, then you could watch this. It's much easier to hear the heart of a leader when you have the same interest that he or she has. It's much easier to make a shift when you understand the purpose of a house. Communication won't be no problem. See, the problem comes in is when we don't understand the purpose of a house. Reading a book called The Technology of Apostolic Succession by, his last name is, I think his first name is Bernard, I'm not sure. But he began to talk about in his book about camps. And different camps are established for a reason. There was, why? In the Old Testament, there were 12 tribes. They all was chosen by God. You know, it was, Isaac. Yeah, it was Isaac. Had the 12 sons. So that's the 12 tribes. They all came from Isaac. But there were 12 tribes. They all had a different language, different rules of engagement, different ways of doing things. Come from one house, but they were different. They had, watch this, they might have had different tribe agendas that worked together with the other tribe to accomplish the big agenda. So sometimes, this is my point for saying this, sometimes you must understand, if you can't understand the language of the house, what I mean by the language of the house, the rules of engagement of the house, then you won't ever fit into that house. It's time to move on. You don't want to stay in a place in which you can't get no understanding. Because if I can't get with the purpose, then the communication is going to be flawed. If I don't understand the purpose of a house, of an apostolic house, then all the instruction that's coming from leadership, I'm going to have an issue with. That's communication. So if I have an issue with the communication, I'm definitely not going to be able to be a part of the strategy. I'm not going to be a joint fitly joined together supplying my part, because I haven't gotten with the agenda or the purpose of the house. Are you seeing this? See, this is important, because we're going to get into talking about covenant, and covenant enhances communication. It enhances purpose. It enhances strategy. It takes it to the next level. So if ain't no sense in me joining this group of people if I don't believe in their purpose. If I don't believe in their purpose, then, and I come in with my own agenda, then we're going to be talking a different language. And then if we're talking a different language, when it's time to execute strategy, I'm going to be doing my thing, they're going to be doing their thing, and we're going to conflict. Yep. Is this making sense? Yep. So we have to understand the power of purpose, the power of communication, and the power of strategy. In the book, it goes communication, I think strategy, then power, then a purpose. But purpose is actually first. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, then you're not going to be able to convey the idea properly. Peter them couldn't understand Jesus' purpose at all. Jesus said, I got to go. I'm going to die. Peter said, ain't nobody coming to get you today, Jesus. They're not coming to get you. What did Peter say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because he didn't understand the purpose. Peter did not understand the purpose of Jesus until Jesus had come back from the grave and went looking for him and said, Peter, I need you to feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you love me? That's when Peter made the shift from his own agenda to the agenda of Jesus Christ. How many see this? Power of purpose, power of communication, power of strategy. That's how all of your situations are going to be resolved. When you shift your agenda, listen to that internet, when you shift your agenda from just yours to the agenda of the house, then you're going to hear clearer. See, if I can't hear clear, then I can't properly respond. Achan didn't hear clearly with Joshua. So he couldn't properly respond. Because he didn't properly respond, he was dealt with. Are you seeing this? So next class, when we come together, we're going to be talking about the power of covenant. We're going to be talking about how the power of communication, the power of strategy, and the power of purpose is going to be enhanced. Amen? Amen. Are there any questions? Anything I said you didn't understand? Those by internet, you can email me your questions. Everybody pretty much clear? All right. Remember now, your faith is properly responding. Your faith don't make God do nothing. God ain't got to do nothing else. It's already done. All I got to do is properly respond. Anytime I want to open myself up to properly respond, it takes the pressure off of you. The pressure is no longer on me. I just got to properly respond. Whatever I'm dealing with, God, I just need to hear your voice so I can properly respond. See y'all next class.